What is up, you guys? Welcome to Radio Radar, episode 110. I'm your stand-in host, Lucas Sullivan. Henry Gilbert's out sick this week.
Poor Henry.
I am joined by...
Lorenzo Valoria.
Anthony Snyder.
Maxwell McGee.
And that last name you heard is a newcomer,
Whoa.
New addition to the team.
Whoa, special guest.
Maxwell or Max, whichever you feel.
Maxwell, if I'm in trouble, if you want to lay a verbal smackdown upon me, then Maxwell would be your name of choice. Otherwise, if we're keeping it super cash.
So give us a quick backstory, Max, for those who don't know you, maybe... little history lesson.
Well, I was born in 1987. And,
Year of our Lord.
grew up in Arkansas. Worked at GameSpot for the last couple of years. And now I've made the transition over to the Radar.
The old GR. What kind of games are you into?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, obviously, got to play a little bit of a lot of different stuff, but if I had to pick... I would say I really enjoy fighting games.
Right on.
And your turn-based strategies, most of all. So your Final Fantasy Tactics, your XCOMs.
Sure. Like that. Your Fire Emblems and
your Fire
whatnot.
Emblems.
Well, we're happy to have you, Max, and I think you're going to become, you know, a fixture of the podcast.
Thank you.
In the mix, as they say. And with that, let's just get straight into the
Let's dive right into it.
In a very unprepared manner, because we're just flying by the seat of our pants.
Yeah, no sound effects or anything today. We're naked.
We're doing a lot.
We're naked today. We don't have Henry Gilbert
to
to lead us.
To hold his finger up when he wants sound effects.
Yeah, he's like, shh, quiet.
Sound effects. So,
here it comes.
We got the top seven video game characters that live in your head. Now, this is kind of a dual meaning, because it could either mean characters who actually, like, occupy your mind because it's a brain chip or something, or they're just imaginary and made up, and maybe it's a twist later.
But, Lucas, aren't all video game characters made up?
I
mean, it is a fictitious medium.
Who's to say, really? So, let's kick things off with our number seven. Cortana of the Halo series. Now, Lorenzo, you're up to speed on Cortana.
Absolutely not.
List is going to be a lot of, so who knows about this? Nobody? Entry real quick. But Cortana she's not imaginary. She is an AI. I think her origin is explained in Halo 4, but I bought
she
that
had,
game.
She had a bad case of the rampancy.
Yeah, she got a little cray, right?
Got a little cray.
She'd been away too long from Chief. But she's always with Master Chief, basically giving him advice and cool tech stuff and just kind of reassuring him in a lot of cases, right? Like, he feels incomplete without her a little bit.
Interesting to see that Cortana's so far down on the list, giving the popularity.
This ain't a popularity.
Popularity.
Popples.
Popularity of the Halo.
Yeah,
series.
She's kind of just the voice of Chief,
of
really. Like, even though Chief
she's more interesting than him.
Even though Chief has a voice, he doesn't talk very much, and then when he does, he's like, Cortana, I'm going to jump off this spaceship with this bomb.
We have to shoot all the aliens.
Do you think I can
make it?
So, she's a good companion.
We're gonna finish the fight. I have a gun.
No, you're not, Master Chief. You're never going to finish that fight.
No, it's never going to end.
Never going to end for you.
But yeah, she just lives in a chip in his head.
And she's cool.
Yeah, she's pretty neat. And she's naked.
Oh, come on.
A hot pocket.
Whoa.
She's digitally
Would
naked.
They make AI with, you know, extremities? Private areas?
With clothes on? Is a real question. Apparently not. They don't have clothes.
I feel like that would just be super distracting.
I know.
You would want your soldiers focused on the fight at hand.
It's like, Cortana,
it's just more...
Cortana, I
can
can't...
Can you pick up that file over there?
I can't tear my eyes away. Oh, now I'm getting shot by the Covenant.
Decent, Cortana.
Clean that. Can you bend over? Clean that virus. Real slow.
Chief. Master Chief is a perv.
Too many pixels. Too many pixels
too many
to add for clothing.
Number six, we got the heart from Dishonored. Mm. Now, this is a cool one because it's not immediately obvious that the heart even talks.
Right.
I think it's like you get it as one of those guide items, and I think it lets you see where your next objective is.
Mm-hmm.
But what you might clue into as the game goes on is that it actually has the soul of the queen or duchess or whoever your love interest is at the beginning that gets
killed.
The
empress.
Yeah. And it may very well be her heart. So she's like communicating with you through it. And it's like, whoa, this is some crazy shizzler.
Yeah, I played a lot of Dishonored. And I remember getting the heart item, and it very much seemed like the, oh, this is the guide arrow item.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In case you don't understand video games and you need a guide arrow to show you where to go. So I brought it out at the beginning and like messed around with it for a bit, and then just decided, oh, I'm not going to need this.
Yeah.
The poor man.
You're too good for it.
And then never went back, never thought about it again. And then, you know, months later there's or whatever, it's like, oh, there's this whole side story, all this extra background info you could have got from the magic heart.
Lore.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Well, it's like
the Dishonored ghost.
Yeah, you think it's just an arrow thing, but you could point it at people and it'll tell you a little backstory about
that whisper
that
like
yeah it'll
that person is incompetent
like granny likes to have her cookies with some nutmeg but also she stabbed her husband in the face.
I forgot about that character.
Such a creepy voice.
Yeah, but it does stuff like that, and it's really creepy. When I found out that it did that, I just started pointing it at everybody.
Yeah.
He's a guard with a little
He's
boy.
The guard with the mind.
A little boy that sleeps alone every night and cries himself to sleep.
These are not the details.
You wonder how
right
she
now.
Knows all that.
It's like she's
just tell me about his walking patterns.
Yeah.
But it's a cool way to weave in lore without throwing it in your face.
Right.
Number five is Zack from Deadly Premonition. This is basically your main character, Agent York. He's always talking to a guy that's not there. And he's always putting his fingers to his ear like he has an earpiece, but he doesn't seem to have an earpiece.
Mm.
And this is a pretty cool... So basically, if you don't know, Deadly Premonition is essentially Twin Peaks, the game. And that was a really weird David Lynch show from the 90s. And in that show, the main character, Agent Dale Cooper, would talk to his recorder... who you're supposed to think it's going to his assistant, mm-hmm. Diane, but you never see her and you never see him like mailing the tapes or anything. So it really is just like, is she real or is he just kind of having conversations with himself because he's a brilliant secret agent
mm-hmm.
and this is just how
he's got to keep all his thoughts in order.
Yeah. Like Sherlock Holmes, he's got to work through the problems
now
by
talk
talking
it out.
To
yeah.
his imaginary friend. And that's basically Zack's role in Deadly Premonition. York will just say, isn't that strange, Zack? And he'll be like with other people talking to Zack. And I think the other people are just like, what's he doing right now?
Doesn't he say things like Zack's talking to him too? Like,
yeah,
like,
he'll
right,
respond
Zack.
like R2-D2.
Yeah.
Like he'll respond to
but
something.
There's no bleeps and bloops. There's just.
Yeah. And the cool part is it kind of.
Going on his head.
It kind of acts like the player is Zack because he'll talk to you about like movie history and it's just really cool. Like he'll be driving alone and he's talking to Zack and it's basically he's talking to you, the player.
Right.
It's a nifty way of doing some fourth wall breaking without necessarily breaking the fourth wall.
So you're actually in his head, sort of.
Yeah,
I guess.
It's up to interpretation. Number four is Leo from Manhunt 2. You know, I should have gone back and said this list will have spoilers, most certainly. If you listen this far, I mean, you can figure it out for yourself.
I think most of the things we talk about have spoilers most of the time.
Yeah, but hey, full disclosure, now you know. There are going to be spoilers
now that we're
most certainly
halfway through this list.
The remainder of this list. But Leo is the main antagonist of Manhunt 2, and as it turns out, he's in the main character Daniel Lamb's head the whole time.
Big surprise, the guy that's murdering everybody gruesomely is actually a psychopath.
Murdering everyone gruesomely. Now, it's kind of, it's weird because everyone, like Manhunt 2 is when the ESRB was like, nah, we don't play
nah, dog.
Yeah.
You're done.
And it got AO, I believe.
AO.
before they had to turn
it's actually
it
like
down.
Six O's and they just go across the bottom of the case.
But it's
rated
funny.
AO.
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 they actually, it's weird because, you know, Daniel Lamb, he's the good guy. He's the protagonist.
Sure.
And yes, his alternate ego is killing everybody, but he regrets it. Like, he doesn't want to kill those people. He's kind of just in a bad situation created by Leo, the guy in his head. And it's two distinct personalities, a bit like Fight Club.
What?
Spoiler alert.
What?
But in the first Manhunt, James Cash, he's just doing it. He's just killing people like it ain't no thing. So it's almost like Manhunt 2 is less gruesome and disturbing because of this split personality, this imaginary character that lives in Daniel's head.
His name is Robert Paulson. His name is Robert Paulson.
His name is Meatloaf in real life. Let's see. Let me skim this for additional info that might be of interest to people.
His name is Robert Paulson.
Just keep repeating
that. It
should
just be an entry, like on every Wikipedia page. It'd be a header, and it just says his name, and then in the body is Robert Paulson. Just in case you need any extra context for whatever you're reading about, you know.
That was the creepiest moment in that movie.
It's a weird.
They're just like.
Cool movie.
They're just so far gone that they're like, his name is Robert Paulson. Then every dead dude's name was Robert Paulson.
Yeah. Cool move.
Screwed up.
Number three, another spoiler coming at you. John Conrad from Spec Ops The Line.
Spoilers.
This whole game is about the horrors of war. It's basically, what was it, Apocalypse Now?
Heart of Darkness.
Heart of Darkness. Thank you, Max. Mm-hmm. You're the educated one.
Trying to bring a little class.
And the whole game is about, like, are you doing the right thing? You know, what at what cost do we go to war? You're slowly losing it. And this guy is your commanding officer, I believe. Yeah, John Conrad. He's telling you what to do. Turns out, oops, he died long before the events of the game, mm-hmm. and you're just going cray-cray.
I'm pretty sure he's the guy. He was telling you what to do, but he was also the guy you were trying to save, I believe. Because he crash landed in Dubai.
Yes.
Or he was there trying to evacuate people because of the sandstorm. And then you had your little shoulder radio that nobody ever saw.
As you do.
And you kept talking to him, and he was telling you like how to get to him. And then it turns out that radio was so busted. It was a broken toy radio, and you were just were just out of your mind.
I wish I hadn't read this now.
I really need to play this game.
Oh man, Spec Ops is fantastic.
I really need to play it.
Also, I hang out with the guy that wrote the game, and he's super cool.
Super cool dude.
Huh?
Walt Williams. He's a cool arse dude.
Walter Williams.
So yeah, John Conrad. Turns out he's dead the whole time.
He's pretty dead.
He's Bruce Willising the shit.
Number two, The Reapers from Mass Effect. Now, this is a tricky one.
Wait a minute.
This is a very weird one because
I shot some Reapers in the face, Lucas. What are you telling me?
So they're not imaginary. This is a bit of a Cortana scenario where if you remember at the very beginning of Mass Effect, you touched that pillar.
A beacon? What did they call it?
Yeah, I think a beacon.
The beacon.
Was it just the beacon?
Beacon.
Okay. Yeah.
Beacon and eggs. and your mind gets like...
Boo this man.
Your mind gets taken over for a hot second and you see all these visions mm-hmm. and you're like, what the freak is going on?
What the freak?
And then they kind of move away from that over the course of the series, but really, that was the Reapers like... getting in your head at that moment.
Right. They were like trying to communicate with you, but they were so overwhelming that you could only interpret it in abstract imagery.
Yeah, and they were really far away.
Yeah. So they only had like one bar.
Perception's really
It was
bad.
A weak signal.
AT&T.
Their data plan, they were
Can
getting
you hear me
they
now?
Were like, they were getting bottlenecked real bad.
Really that beacon was really
left.
Old.
Use them wisely.
Yeah.
But I think that is why you can talk to the Reapers when you encounter them in Mass Effect 2.
The Harbinger, yeah.
Harbinger?
Yeah. And
says, I'm going to get you. And you're like, no.
Nas.
Oh. You can't get me.
So yes, the Reapers, not imaginary, but they do live in your head.
Yeah, and they also indoctrinate you too.
They live in a lot of people's heads.
They live in
actually.
A lot of people's heads, and they take and absolute control over you, and you just turn into a husk-like thing. And
There's a very cool theory, which you can read about on GamesRadar in an article that Ashley wrote about maybe you were indoctrinated the whole time
in Mass Effect.
And, like, the ending, you didn't do shiz. You were just...
You were just going crazy. You were just a puppet.
Yeah, and that's why the colors were all messed up.
Yeah.
Like, the red was the good choice. The green was the bad choice, like the Reaper side choice. And then...
And blue is like the full indoctrination.
I'm all about blue.
Something like that, yeah.
I really like that ending. But anyways, number one of the top seven video game characters that live in your head, everyone in Eternal Sonata. Whoa. Now, this is a pretty niche game, so let me give you the breakdown on it. This is the Chopin
RPG.
Yes, it's an a JRPG starring Frédéric Chopin. Frédéric Chopin.
Freddy Chop.
If you didn't know, is a very famous composer. The whole game is like you're fighting with music, the power of music, essentially. And in actuality, you know, you're running around this very peaceful, beautiful world. Nope, just kidding. You're on your deathbed.
JK.
And this is all a fantasy made up in your mind. Kind of depressing, really. So in real life, or no, in the game's fiction, Frédéric Chopin was dying of tuberculosis at the age of 39. And he was like, this sucks. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to mentally transport myself to a different world.
But he knew that years and years later, a Japanese role-playing company would take this opportunity, Chopin, to craft a really niche RPG.
Which Sophia loves, from what I hear. You know what? I borrowed this, and I still need to play it, but I haven't plugged in my 360 in a hot minute.
What?
Yeah, it's been a while.
360 was the greatest console of last generation.
Yeah. And last generation, it's over.
And
as far
it's unplugged.
As
it's unplugged.
Yeah, but sorry if you were in the middle of Eternal Sonata. We just gave it all away. But that doesn't really impact the game as a whole. It's just that, yes, all these characters you're meeting, they're not real. They are not real. So, that is the top seven video game characters that live in your head. I realize I repeated the title of it twice for emphasis.
Great.
We are going to take a quick break, but when we come back, some current events, including news, previews, and reviews.
Radio Radar is brought to you in part by Audible.com, where you can download audiobooks like Extra Lives, Why Video Games Matter, and Ready Player One. Download a free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/gamesradar.
And we're back. Max was like, am I getting a real break? And I'm like, so we didn't
I just paused for
10 seconds so that Frank could cut this better.
Dude, you're breaking the illusion.
Giving away all this. I'm living in your
head
right now.
I got up, got some coffee.
Took a slash.
Took a smoke break.
That's a UK slang for a whiz.
For a deuce? Oh. No. Pinched a loaf.
Oh, come on.
Let's not go down this road.
No, okay.
Let's not go down this road.
No. So let's kick things off with news. There wasn't too much this week. If you're a Japanese import fan, you'll be happy to know that Vib Ribbon is on PSN, which our managing editor, Jan Jones, was ecstatic about. She loved this game on
PS1. I believe she did call it the best game ever.
Wow.
Bold
statement.
Bold statement.
Very
bold
statement.
Around.
It also probably doesn't make her nauseous. So.
Yeah.
Nauseated.
Yeah, she gets motion sick pretty easily. But that is on, I believe, PS3 and PS Vita, if you're interested. And I'm going to have to hit that up. Possibly on Vita. Other big news piece this week is and I wish Ashley was here to talk about this, the Assassin's Creed Unity debacle parody, basically. I saw some lame dude on Twitter using a hashtag on this. I was like, get a life! but the story goes that, as you may have heard, resolution on Xbox One is typically lower than on PS4, and this has been a this has been a sticking point for a lot of people.
My game looks terrible.
It
looks absolutely
basically
awful.
The human eye cannot really distinguish this.
Maybe your eyes can.
Well, it depends on your screen, right?
Sorry.
I'm like, it, Apparently, all the people that are complaining about this have giant television screens, giant and they're just like rich
4K
and, you know,
projectors.
4K projectors.
You don't even need 4K. Like, you can't even tell the difference between 2K and 4K. You don't even.
In that
need
case,
that.
I would be pissed. I'd be like, I want my 1080p. But I got I got a 40-inch TV. Can't tell the difference between any of these.
Indistinguishable.
Resolutions.
But basically, PS4 can handle 1080p. Xbox One has 900p, and Ubisoft was like, we'll just make the PS4 one also 900p, and that way no one has to get in a tizzy about which has the better version. And
then little did they know.
And then they got in a tizzy about the...
We can get in a tizzy about anything.
Yeah, and it's also 30 frames per second instead of, you know, maybe 60, they could have gone higher on PS4. We're never going to know at this point. Unless someone like hacks their PS4.
So the Xbox One is literally ruining the PlayStation.
The idea is that the Xbox One is holding back the PS4 version, and everyone,
if it didn't exist, we'd have better games.
And everyone's all in a kerfluffle. I mean, how do you guys feel about this? I'm like, yes, it honestly does get to me that I could theoretically be playing a better version on PS4, and that's the console that I own at the moment, so I'm feeling like I'm getting
gimped.
Yeah, I'm getting held back.
Yep.
For something that doesn't concern me. But at the same time, it's such an entitlement thing, because it's like, it's not a big deal. Yeah, it's the same game.
It's so minuscule. Like, I'm on the other side of it. I have an Xbox One, so I don't give a shit. but, you know, the whole resolution thing is ridiculous. It's a ridiculous argument.
It's people getting mad over a theory of something that affects them.
It's
not them being affected.
It's specs. Like, if you could not distinguish what console you were playing on, like, the controller is exactly the same and you're playing the same game, you probably could not tell the difference between a 1080p resolution and a 900p resolution. Maybe some people could.
Some people, some if they're people, obsessed with that. Yeah. But the majority...
I'm not obsessed. I'm not obsessed, but I can tell the difference.
The majority...
You
got the eye. But you're also a video editor.
I went to film school.
But most people, they can't tell the difference. Like,
yeah.
Who can?
It's more the fact that now they're aware of this. Now it's like... Now they're offended. I don't know.
Well, saw when I was reading the, you know, little forum posts and stuff like that about it, and people were saying, like, I guess PR reached out again, and they were like, oh no, that's not what I meant. I just said the wrong words.
And then those words tripped me up.
And then people were sort of worried. They're like, is this going to happen with Far Cry 4 also? And then it's just the whole. It's that whole thing, I guess, people are worried about. But honestly,
sticky situation.
The game's the game. If you're a spec junkie, then obviously you're going to be upset. You're just like, nah.
I mean, if you're a spec junkie, get a PC.
That's true. Right. Yeah, that's true. Everything's going to look better on PC.
Go get a PC. Like, stop with this console.
Stop whining.
Nonsense. Go get a PC. Adjust that shit.
Yeah.
And segueing perfectly into our previews of the week, our own Andy Hardup in the UK had an extensive play session of Assassin's Creed Unity, where he broke down a lot of what you get to see, and I believe...
You know what you don't get to see?
60 frames per second.
Oh, no, 60 frames!
Woof!
No 1080p.
Got him!
I don't get that.
But yeah, it sounds like this is not an insane revolution of the series, which at this point... That's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, it's more a new twist to the established formula. It's not necessarily a bad thing.
I don't think the Assassin's Creed games will change unless
radically
you move away from knives and stabbing people to guns. You know, like you have to really change, like,
they
all that
have
stuff.
Guns, but they take 5 minutes to load.
They're like one shot thing. They're just your random range attack. I'm talking about like Uzis and shit. But like, as long as you have your wrist blades, and as long as you're running around with swords and
swords,
and it's not, you know, the 1800s where there's actual guns that are useful.
You know what, seriously?
It's not going to change.
Cybernetic Assassin's Creed.
Didn't Call of Juarez do that where it's like, it was in the Old West, but now it's modern day, and everyone's a drug dealer instead of a bandit.
Yeah, that was a little odd.
But yeah, if you want to know more about Assassin's Creed Unity, be sure to check out the preview. It talks about customization. Like, there are stats on clothing now.
Yeah, that's what's crazy. It's more Diablo-esque, where you kind of go around and loot stuff, and you get loot, and you could totally customize the look of your character.
Which could be a nice wrinkle.
It's pretty neat. They kind of went away from that in the series. In the Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood, you could, you know, buy new armor, and you know, the Ezio you started with did not look like the Ezio you finished with,
which is cool.
And you know, there's some customization in the other ones, but this one seems to just blow it
all
out.
All in. There's also the Villa, which is like the
Poncho
home base.
Villa.
Poncho Villa. This is like the Assassin's Creed 2 thingy, the manor.
Yeah.
The estate, words, if you will.
The estate, thank you. And it's
Firenze.
It's estate. Much more customizable this time around, I believe. But it works in the same way of it's a home base. You upgrade it, and then life is easier for you. And it sounds like there's some cool ways to approach the assassinations. It's, I believe Andy compared it to Hitman a little bit of like, you can poison his food, or you could just stab him, or you could
or you can shoot his out poison the glass his food while you're stabbing him.
You could pants him in front of his peers, and he'll die of embarrassment.
Drop a toaster in the bathroom.
Inject inject the sausage or the hot dog, one of those, with the poison, and then
I believe the exact example was you can dress up like one of his guards so that you can get closer to him, which is kind of cool.
That's a very Hitman thing to do.
The poison the food thing is too. You can put in Hitman, you can put glass in the guy's chicken.
Right. Yeah, that's what
chicken,
it was. That's
and
what
then
it
then
was.
He's like,
he says, I ate the bones. My internal organs.
I can't stop.
So good.
And there are also crime scenes to investigate. It sounds kind of like Batman Arkham. Arkham Origins.
Everything's just
going
to be Batman.
Yep. They do it too well. They did it too awesomely. So yeah, for the full story, be sure to go to GamesRadar.com. Now,
just as a quick aside here, because we were talking about putting glass in chicken and eating it. Have you guys ever eaten the Tastio's cereal? It's basically Cheerios, and they put a tiny bit of granola in the middle of the Cheerio.
Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh. But it's like eating broken glass.
It tastes so good.
It
tastes so good.
You crunch it up, and the little like the teeny tiny little razor sharp oak clusters just burst out, and they cut up my mouth. They cut up my mouth real bad. Like, where it's noticeable.
It's like that one episode of Simpsons when
the Crustios.
Bart eats the Crustios, and it's like baked in razor blades.
It's like what?
I get that with Captain Crunch, where it shreds
cuts the roof of your mouth.
I know the roof of your mouth gets all shredded up, but I'm eating it. I'm like, oh, this is, it's like honey oat flavor, delicious. It's so good. But when I'm done, oh, my mouth hurts me.
The captain's evil. That's why he's smiling on the box.
That's
he's
true.
Like,
he
yeah,
knows.
You like that.
He knows, so. You stupid kids.
Yeah,
stupid.
Cutting your mouth.
That's like, right. But you can't stop eating it.
Give me more of
your money. Straight
to
the bloodstream. let's move on to reviews, and we're going to kick things off with Skylanders Trap Team, which Lorenzo Valoria this room right now reviewed. So tell us, Lorenzo.
I reviewed it?
What's up with Skylanders Trap Team?
It's pretty awesome.
You were having
a
grand old time playing it.
I had a grand old time. It's what you would expect from Skylanders. It's on next gen, so it looks a lot better.
Nice.
So the higher resolutions and the cutscenes look really good. All the voice acting is really done well. It's kind of like you're watching a Saturday morning cartoon. One of the
rest
the 3D
in peace, according to
I know.
Yeah.
So sad, but all the voice acting is really good. The characters are kind of cool. It's a kid's game, so you know you're not gonna get any surprising story arcs going with this thing.
Radical twist. They're all in your head.
So the trap team are these new characters with these crystal weapons, and they look pretty badass. I was using this gold lion, fire-breathing gold lion with a crystal red shield, and he was totally
amazing. I believe
amazing.
Yaz wrote a song about him.
Did they?
Not really. They have a song called Gold Lion. It's really good.
Anyway, the game adds a lot of like variety to the gameplay. So there's a lot of little mini games. Like there's this 3D Angry Birds little mini game where you're shooting sheep at these blocks and breaking it down and killing bad guys. And there's little shooter, like on-rail shooter events all the time. And so the gameplay is pretty solid. It's pretty much the standard Skylanders. And the catch with this one is, or the gimmick, I guess.
The twist. Hook.
The hook is it has a new portal. So this portal has a speaker in it. And a little slot for these little traps, which you have to buy at the store.
They look like totems.
Sold separately. Basically. Yeah, little totem things. And in the previous games, you're fighting this guy, this little goblin dude.
Or the purple-headed, bald guy?
He looks like a goblin, but he's really human. His name is Chaos. But you're fighting that guy. In this one, you're fighting like 40 villains, and they just pop up every once in a while. And every time you defeat one, you could capture them in the little totem thing. Put it in the portal, and then it captures them in that little totem. So you could switch between the villain and your Skylander, and you know, kick some ass with some villains. You can actually play as the villains.
So you can capture. It's like Jesus. What's that game?
Pokemon.
Yeah. Pokemon. That's what we're all thinking. You capture little monsters and then you
battle with them.
So it's basically having...
you can collect them.
Additional Skylanders without figures. So the cool thing is they did this thing with their sound design where when you're capturing a villain on TV, you're just listening to all the sounds on the TV, and the portal has a speaker on it, so when you capture him, you hear him say, like, "You'll never catch me," and then it jumps to the speaker in the portal, and they're like, "Yeah," and then they land in there and they start talking out of the speaker, and it sounds really good. There's not a lot of popping
or not tinny.
Yeah, no tinny nonsense, and it doesn't sound gross at all. And that whole effect sounds just awesome. I did it just over and over again. But yeah, it worked out. The portal's really cool. The figures are really cool, once again. So if you're a Skylanders collector, you're going to want to, you know, pick up these guys.
Stock up.
And they have the mini ones. So Spyro's back as a baby.
Bappy.
That's pretty much it. It's a good game. If you're into Skylanders, you're going to like it. I liked it a lot.
Basically, it's a great game for Skylanders fans.
If you have, yeah.
It's not going to, like, blow people's minds, but it's super cool.
If you have kids, they're going to love it. Even if they aren't Skylanders fans yet, you could turn them into Skylanders fans.
You could probably do that pretty easily.
That sound thing is amazing. It's awesome. I like it.
Right on. We also had two other reviews go up this week. Drive Club, which Justin Towell in the UK reviewed. Max, you and I played this.
We did.
At Judges Week.
At Judges Week at the Sony house in the broken air conditioner room
ever.
It was the hottest, most cramped. Because the room has... like eight big TVs, and then multiple PS4 set up, and then there's about 600 people in the room with you.
And we're in a wooden mansion
hut, and it's a million degrees outside. Meanwhile, the Order 1886 room, they've got air conditioners and fans, and everybody's having a good time. We're in the hot box playing Drive Club, and I think we got hung up on making Speed Racer jokes the whole time.
The Wachowski siblings. It was a good time. Basically, you can read the full review on the site, but Justin was saying it's kind of halfway between a sim and an arcade racer, and it can't really decide which one it wants to be. It's pretty easy driving, I believe. You don't have to be like, braking multiple times on a turn just to get it right. You can kind of go nuts. There's no car damage because the cars are revered in the game, so they don't want to, you know, make them look nasty.
Is this the first person opening the door game, or is that?
I believe that is Drive Club. Okay. Yes, where you get the little cutscene every time you step in a car. And Justin was saying what makes the game is the multiplayer, because when you're online, you can send and receive challenges that basically just push you to play races over and over, and it feels very connected. Like, you always feel like you're in, if your friends are playing, you know what their times are, you know what you need to do to beat them, and it's a very cool social experience. So if you're into racing and you have an internet connection, this might be for you.
What did he score it?
He gave it a 4 out of 5, and I believe if you're a PS Plus member, you can kind of try the game with a special version just for PS Plus.
And I also gave Skylanders Trap Team a 4 out of 5. I don't think I told you. I said.
I thought you said that. Maybe you did.
I don't think so.
But in four any out case, of 4 out of 5 for both of those games. Then there was Costume Quest 2, which got a 3.5 out of 5. It sounds like it's nice that this is a sequel. It's probably not going to blow any minds. But, you know, if you're in the Halloween spirit, why not? Why not? I like Double Fine. Why not? So, yeah, that's going to do it for the current events section of this week. But come back when we take a break. Just kidding.
It's not going to be a real
seconds.
Break.
It's not even 10 seconds. It's like 3 seconds. And we will talk about the community segment.
And corrections.
Welcome back. I'm really wondering, I'm worried now that Frank's going to be like, where the frack are the brakes in this thing? Because Henry's not here to edit. He's coughing up a storm. He's
hacking up a lung.
I will say, Henry's coughs
have subsided.
They have subsided. There was a time when Henry would literally sound like he was dying. Like someone was like, strangling him, and everyone would just stop working and be like,
Are you okay?
Should we call 911? But Henry, our prayers go out to you. Just sorry, that's a little extreme.
Our thoughts.
He's getting better.
Our thoughts. Not gonna spare a prayer for him, but we'll think about you every now and again.
Yeah,
Henry will be back next week, so you don't have to listen to me hosting and rambling. But let's talk about the correction. And this is a doozy, but I really like the effort that went in here. Correction for last week's podcast, episode 109, where we talk about Smash Brothers a lot. Sarush X, he learned us. He dropped some knowledge
directly
on our head. I'm going to read this entire comment, it's a long one. You guys got mixed up in your definition for meteor attacks in Smash Brothers. You confuse them with sweet spots. A meteor attack, or spike, is a very strong attack that sends an opponent straight down. A lot of characters have a meteor as their down air, but it varies throughout the cast. What you guys were describing were sweet spots. There are certain moves like Captain Falcon's knee or Zelda's aerials that are incredibly strong during certain frames of the attack animation. Bonus, when hitting someone with these attacks and missing the sweet spot, it's called soft. For example, soft knee. Thank you, Sarush X. I was aware of the spike attacks that send people straight down, but I thought those were also sweet spots. But no, those are meteors.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Yeah, so good knowledge. The question of the week last week was, what bit of fan service or cool wink to the audience got you the most excited? And our responses this week are a little slim because somebody, Henry Gilbert, did not put the podcast on the front page. So you basically had to Google Radio Radar 109. That has been corrected. So if you missed last week's episode, you can go listen to it now. It's in the feed or in the stream on GamesRadar.com. But let's read these responses. Lorenzo, why don't you kick us off here?
What the hell is this guy's name? I hope this is not
Antista's blood.
Antista's blood. said. What the hell? Anyway, mine is an odd choice, but playing Metroid Other M and finding Nightmare, the boss that can manipulate gravity, got me so excited since my first and favorite Metroid game is Fusion, and that was the boss fight I enjoyed the most. In Other M, it wasn't so great, but it was cool just seeing it there.
Right on. Anthony, hit us up.
Flailing Kermit.
Yay!
Yay! Oh, that's better. It's a lot better.
His arms are waving everywhere. Yeah.
He says, the entirety of the Burial at Sea DLC for BioShock Infinite. It allows you to experience Rapture as a thriving populated city, but also as Booker and Elizabeth. And the way that the ending ties the two games together, spoiler, will make any fan of the original BioShock squeal with joy.
No! I'm so happy. I'm just so
terrified. Squeals.
Reminds me of the Galaxy Quest aliens.
Yeah. Oh, right. They were like weird squid monsters in their true form. Yeah.
Oh my God, that movie.
It's a great movie.
Tim Allen.
Max, why don't you take us home?
And Snape. Snape was in that
movie.
Mine's from Jars. I got an easy one. I got to give it to the Mass Effect fan service Christmas Spectacular, more commonly referred to as the Citadel DLC, which, yes, it very much was. After you coax your brain into forgetting that Shepard and crew quit the whole apocalyptic war thing, for a while, there we go, to throw a party, this pack is a lot of fun. Go on a goofy mission with all your favorite living characters.
Oh.
This isn't a Weekend of Bernie's kind of situation. Then throw a big dumb party that lands Grunt passed out in the shower mumbling about sharks. After you exhaust all that content, go meet up with the individual characters for games, dancing, and all kinds of silly shit. And you get to meet Blasto. What else could you want? I remember this DLC. I played it. I really enjoyed it. I don't remember getting to meet Blasto, though. I'm disappointed.
Maybe you got to go back.
I got to go back and reinstall all those patches and updates.
I didn't
and
even
DLC
know this
packs.
Existed.
Oh, yeah.
I
it's
didn't know you
super
could meet
goofy.
Blasto. The dance video that I did had the dance party in it.
Yeah.
But I didn't remember seeing Blasto in there.
Well, it sounds like you would meet Blasto after the party. So the party wraps up, and then he's floating around somewhere with his laser guns.
Oh my God.
Are you Blasto?
Anytime I think of Blasto, I think Phil Hartman, that PS1 game that nobody played.
I think of Busta Groove.
Close. Because they start with B's?
No, because that was a character in that game.
His I want to play
Blasto.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So I say we give it to Jars on this one. I like that answer.
I would support that.
Fan service Christmas Spectacular.
It really, really was.
So, Jars, send us a message at radioradar@gamesradar.com. Henry will get you sorted out with a prize when he gets back from being sick.
Mm-hmm.
And the question of the week for this week is, tying in with the top seven, if you could make any game character your imaginary friend, who would it be? And theoretically, you can do this if you just go a little nuts.
God.
IRL.
I can start us off here.
You start, yeah.
I can start us off here. If he ever played the Journeyman project, Buried in Time, so I'm basically talking to myself here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a character, I think his name is Arthur, but he's kind of like Cortana. He's a little AI that you pick up. He's on a chip. But he makes this game that's like very lonely and foreboding feel comfortable because he's just cracking jokes about like these horrifically messed up scenarios you're in over and over. And as a kid, it made the game go from like insanely scary to totally fun.
Mm.
And he's just a cool guy to have around. So if you played the game, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, I recommend you play it. It's on GOG.com.
I'll go with HK-47 because he's kind of like comic relief that I enjoy.
Correction.
Yeah, and he would just call me Meatbag all the time and be my partner in my imaginary crimes.
I'm going to go with, and this is a little bit of a risky choice, I'm going to go with Deadpool from Deadpool.
Oh,
ho ho.
Jokes all the time. Would never be bored.
It sounds like the theme here is that we all just want someone to alleviate the stresses of the world.
Yeah.
Just make light
of it. I'm trying to go for a more practical angle.
Okay.
I was thinking Legion from Mass Effect because we just had that Mass Effect answer. Got me thinking about that because he's a computer with a bunch of different computer people living inside him, so you get a lot of different perspectives on whatever issue you're thinking about.
That could be
scary. If you need like a calculator or something, he can calculate things for you.
But he always talks in the third person.
He does, but I'm okay with that, and I'm also okay with his gravelly robot sounding voice.
It's a very cool voice.
It is. It's a very cool voice effect.
Legion was the coolest character.
He really was.
When you ran into him, I was like, this is
amazing. This is going to be the best thing.
Like, oh my God, he is legion.
Yeah, and I love, I have a toy of him on my desk, but I love how he just has like the gaping hole in his chest.
Yeah.
Plus, the guy who does Legion's voice in Mass Effect is also the same guy who does Albert Wesker's voice in Resident Evil 5. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but yeah.
Wesker.
Wesker. Jill. So Sheva.
If you would like a chance at a prize, leave us a comment on the article for episode 110 of Radio Radar on GamesRadar.com. If we like your comment the best next week, we will send you something cool from the many things that we have in the office.
Something cool.
I'm just realizing that I am totally unprepared for the closing of the podcast.
The outro.
I think that's going to do it for episode 110. Come back next week for episode 111, a.k.a. the 111.
The T-Ripple?
The T-Ripple 1.
The T-Ripple.
If you are so inclined, please give us a review on iTunes. Henry loves it. He just loves it to bits.
Follow us on our social channels.
You make his day. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Twitch TV.
At GamesRadar.
At GamesRadar on Twitter.
Facebook /GamesRadar.
That doesn't work, sadly.
No.
I wish it did. Also,
there's
all you got to do is just search.
A stream today, right?
Follow our...
Oh, yeah.
Follow
a stream,
our...
But no one's going to hear it in time.
Yeah. Follow our Twitch stream. We live stream every Wednesday from 3:30 to 5. Every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific time.
PT.
West Coast. West Coast, USA. We do a lot of stuff. We play a lot of games. We give away a lot of games. We gave away a Smash Bros. Edition 3DS on Wednesday.
And it was the four of us. That was a great stream.
Yeah. And
that was a great time.
Yeah, if you guys want to participate in those kinds of things, we'll let you do that. You could fight us in Smash if you wanted to.
We had a Fibbage stream where some people got in the mix, too. That was it was a good time. And, of course, go to GamesRadar.com if you want to read all of our reviews, previews, and funny features. This week had some real good ones. I particularly like your feature, Lorenzo, about the really difficult-to-obtain weapons. Ludicrously difficult to unlock.
Yeah, they're pretty tough. At least I had trouble with them. Let me know if you have any other entries.
Suggestions. There's also Sam Riley's... article on the catchphrases, gaming catchphrases, which I was laughing uproariously at, and Jan was like, can you shut the freak
out? Hey, we're trying to, this is a workplace. What are you doing here?
And Ashley had a good feature on weaponized game outfits. So, they're clothes, but they can kill.
Bayonetta's heels.
Not just because of their awesome fashion sense.
That too.
They're killer.
So that's going to do it. Come back next week. And for now, here's my best Henry Gilbert impression. Radio Radar out!